We are going to continue our study in the church, study of ecclesiology, and in particular, we've been looking at some of the illustrations in the New Testament that describe what the church really is. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for every portion of Scripture, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and guide now. Help us to better understand the body of Christ, the church, and our place in it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we left off last time at number 3 on the church's relationship to other believers. And last time we looked at the church as a temple or a building, and the illustration that we saw in Ephesians chapter 2. And this morning we want to continue that same thought, that same theme, the believer's relationship to each other. And the illustration that we want to look at now is that not of a building, but of a body. So let's turn, we have quite a few passages to look at. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And the last two verses in the chapter. And it's speaking about Christ, who has been raised from the dead. And it says in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, the Father putting all things under Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here we see that the church is defined for us as a body, and it's his body. We like to think of the church as our church, and we use that terminology a lot. We say, oh, well, Salem Bible Church is my church, and we know what we mean. We mean that this is the church that we attend, but really the church belongs to the Lord, and it's his body, and he is the head of that body. And so the illustration, think of a human body. That's the illustration that Paul gives repeatedly, and the body is related to the head. Most of us have our heads connected to the rest of our body. There is an attachment there, and all the body parts are connected in one way or another to every one of the other body parts. And so the church is like a human body, and Christ is the head of that body. And also turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Again, Paul is defining what the church is. It is his body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. So Christ is the head of the body, and as the head, he is to have all preeminence. And so whatever we do as members of the body, every ministry, every activity, every function, every time we assemble together, it ought to be for his glory and for his honor. And so that's what the body is. First and foremost, it is his body. But also, we are part of that body. And we, every one of us as individual members, are connected to the head. And let's look at a couple of passages. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. And in this context, Paul has been speaking about those who were puffed up in their vain mind, the false teachers, and he said of them, they were not holding the head. They should have been, if they were part of the body of Christ, they should have been holding or embracing the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered. So it is from the head that the entire body, every joint, welcome. Got the Lyons visiting with us this morning. Good to see you, John and Nadine. And so you get the cushy seats in the back. So we are in Colossians chapter 2 right now in verse 19. So here Paul is saying that as members of the body, we're connected to the head, and the whole body is interjoined by joints and by bands. They're a place that just band. You think of the bones and all the tendons and all the muscles that band the skeleton together. And that's how he's describing the body. And because all the members are jointed and banded together, they're nourished from the head. So the head is the source of the nourishment of the body. And then he goes on to describe the body as being knit together. So the members of the body are knit to each other. Now, he's not talking about making a sweater here with knit. It just means that they're woven together, connected together, just like all the members of our body are all connected together. So there's a relationship that every member has to the head individually and corporately. We're all members of his body, and Christ is the head of that whole body. But each one of us as members of an individual local church, there is a banding together. There is a closeness. It's kind of like a family situation where there is a direct relationship that we have to each other. And Paul likens it to being knit together. And he says that as a result of the members connected to the head, Christ, and connected to one another, knit together, our lives are woven together because we serve together, we worship together, we fellowship together. Our lives are really woven together. And as a result of that close relationship that we have to each other, there is an increase, a growth that takes place. And the growth is the result of being related to Christ, but the head uses all of these interpersonal relationships in the body to result in our personal growth. So how does that happen? How does my growth or your growth occur as a result of the body being knit together? How does that work? In a practical way. Who was that? Ray?
I was just thinking of each out spiritual gifts that are given to have our salvation to particularly use in the local church. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says the Lord has set the members in the body as it has pleased him. So our gifts are tailored for just that, to build the body up.
Okay, so Ray mentioned that the growth takes place as a result of us being knit together because God has given each member a capacity to function in the body. And every member benefits from that function. And we have gifts we can minister to one another. So you don't have to be an official teacher in the church to share God's word with one another. That happens all the time in the hallway. That happens in the fellowship hall as we're having coffee and desserts and things. There is that interaction that is priceless, where God's people, as members of the same body, minister to one another, and as a result, God uses that to cause each of us to grow. So in a sense, my growth is connected to your ministry, and vice versa. We are all interconnected. Malcolm?
Yeah, if we have grown ill, and you have a component in the body,
Right. So if the opposite, if one member is sick, it's going to have a bad influence on the rest of the body. You know, if there's leaven in the lump, then the result is that the whole body is leavened. What we're looking at, though, is the fact that when members in the body are functioning together and knit together, the end result of that is a good influence and a good ministry that builds us up. So if we're faithful, the body is built up. If we're unfaithful, the body is missing. And it's diminished by even just one member not using their gifts as designed. Somebody else have, Ruth Ann?
I was thinking too, we are
speak up so everybody can hear.
We're all learning at different, for different reasons. We learn truth in different ways and ways. And it's not even that just one person knows everything and helps somebody that doesn't. It's, I mean, two people are growing in different ways. And even just within two people, I'm learning from Anne. And maybe she's learning, like, we can help each other. And then you see that spread throughout the entire body how we need each other. You know, when somebody shares a testimony with me of how God strengthens them, I learn. And so there's that constant, continual helping and teaching each other, if you want to use that word, strengthening each other in our faith and our love of God, that we need each other. Like, we all need each other in that.
Mike?
I look at a component of growth in the Bible, biblical growth, as being conformed more and more into the image and character of Christ. And so as we're talking about, as we learn truths, we have more information. But at a practical level, God uses us, interwoven with each other, to exercise the truth. So it could be positive. You're helping somebody. They're benefiting from that. They're being blessed. You're learning sacrifice. It could be extending grace in the sense that maybe you interact with somebody that rubs you the wrong way. But our response is to be like the Lord, gracious. And I think through all of that, both positive and negative, as a body or a family, we grow. And that wouldn't happen if we were individuals set aside like islands.
That's what Paul is saying, both in Ephesians and Colossians, that our growth is related to our interaction and ministry in a body. And it's not just attendance. You can attend a body, a local church, and not be knit together. It's possible to be present at every service and not ministering to other people and meeting the needs of other people. And so that's why corporately you want a body that is spiritually minded as a whole. Because there'll always be new believers, there'll always be a few carnal believers, but overall you want a body that is spiritually minded, spirit-filled, so that in that environment, it's good for you. It's better for your growth to be in a body that is spiritually minded than a body that is carnal and, you know, it's just anything goes. And there are so many churches like that today where the atmosphere is not focused on spiritual things, but rather carnal kind of atmosphere with jokes and stories and carnal behavior as even being promoted by the church. While it might build up the numbers of people that are willing to attend, but spiritually, those who do attend are diminished. They're not in an environment that is conducive to spiritual growth. And that's why when spiritually minded believers are knit together, a lot of growth can take place. And it's the responsibility lies not just on the pastor, but on all of the members. John, you had a... If an individual member is carnal, you mean, or fleshly?
Well, in Texas, we haven't been able to stay with Brian in good churches. And the one we've been attending lately, they have people there who are teaching the Kingdom Now philosophy. And I spoke to my Sunday school teacher, who's an elder, and we had an interim pastor. I spoke to him. They both agree that guy was wrong, but they let him die off in group session. The congregation, he took to the Sunday school class, and his idea, he actually said he was going to, his class was to tell men how they should be living in the kingdom. It interfered with the whole church.
Hmm. Well, take him to a lion cage at the zoo. See if it's okay for the lambs to lie down with the lions. Doesn't work in this age. Marie?
Talking about the body working together and making an increase of itself in love. And right before that is something I often have to be reminded of. Speaking the truth in love. I just need that reminder frequently to make sure that what I say to others comes from love for them, yeah. Not just this is something I want to say.
Yeah, that, in that passage, the emphasis is on how love builds up a body. It's kind of like oil in an engine. It's necessary. And it's not just that we minister one to another and teach truth, which is necessary, but when believers love one another, you know, if somebody's sick and someone else makes them a bowl of soup and sends some soup over, just little expressions of love go a long way to causing the body to be knit together in love. And so these are signs of spiritual health, and it is conducive to growth in that situation. Anything else before we... Laurie?
Well, I just often thought about the many one another's in the epistles about, you know, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. That's an exercise of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we're growing those things that might be difficult at times. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, part of growing and encouraging. And as I see someone forgive me, I'm encouraged to forgive others. It's just that idea of being knit.
Yeah. And it's practicing Christianity. And you look at most of the commands, all those one another commands in the New Testament, and primarily the focus is on, in the epistles, is on how we get along with each other in the body. It's not how we get along with our governor or how we get along with the mayor of the town or how we get along with people at work. Primarily, it's how we get along with each other. And the love that we show to each other is a witness to the world of the reality of that we are believers in Christ, and it's a testimony. So this is all members of the body connected to each other. And then we looked in Ephesians, and we saw how the members of the body in Ephesians are fitly joined together. So it speaks of that closeness of the members of the body. Just think of your body, how close You know, everything is connected to everything else. And that idea of fitly joined together, and it's used also of the illustration of the building. The members of the body are fitly joined, fitly framed together. Same expression, just translated differently because the illustration is different. But fitly framed together as a building, fitly joined together as a body. And so it tells us that a body is much more than a pile of human organs. You know, you could, this is gross, but you could cut up a human body, a living human body, and separate, a doctor could separate all the organs and all the bones and put them all in a big pile, and it's just a pile of flesh. It's not really a body. What makes it a body is when it's all fitly framed together and it functions together and it's alive and it's working. And the same thing with the building. There was a horrific earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And you saw these hundreds and hundreds of massive buildings that were just crumbled. So you look at that, it's devastation. It's a pile of building parts. But that's not a building. You know, just a pile of cement and broken glass and bricks, that's not a building. That's a pile of building parts. And so the church is much more than, if each one of us are a member in the body, the church is much more than an assembling together of body parts. What makes us a body, or the way we're designed to function as a body, is when we're knit together, when we're fitly framed together, when we're concerned about so-and-so who's in the hospital, or someone who's a shut-in, or someone who's discouraged, or, you know, when we care for one another, we minister to one another. And so all of those are expressions of love, and it's an expression of Christ in us. Because on our own, we are selfish people. But when Christ manifests his life through us, he manifests his love to others through our mortal body. And so when we get self out of the way, then we're able to minister to other people. When self is in the way, you know what we think as members of the body? How come nobody's ministering to me? How come nobody called me last week? How come nobody does anything nice to me? And what we should be thinking is get that selfish individual out of the way, and we should be thinking, how can I minister to the body? That's what God designed us to do and to be servants, to be ministers of one another. And when we reckon ourselves dead, then we're not going to be concerned about, oh, somebody stepped on my toe, or somebody said something that wasn't nice to me. And you'd be surprised how many people leave churches because somebody said something that wasn't nice to me. I've had a lot of unnice things said to me over the years, and it's human nature. I'm sure I've said some unkind things to others as well. But being a body is functioning together. And like Laurie said, forgiving one another and realizing that we're all sinners saved by grace. Nobody's a big shot here. Nobody's any better than anyone else. And to function that way and serve that way. And as a result, the body is strengthened and we benefit from that. So the human body is not just individual members of a body that happen to be sitting in pews next to each other on the Lord's Day or at prayer meeting. It's rather, we're a body all week long. And so our ministry one to another shouldn't be confined to just Sunday when we're here. That's the time when we see everybody, but, you know, people have struggles on Tuesdays sometimes. People need, okay, Jeff has.
You said, how come nobody ministered to me this week? And I doubt that we ever say, how come I didn't minister to anybody this week? And
yeah.
And you also use that illustration of the earthquake. You know, you could see a picture of a building at the devastation and it looks like it's perfect, or it looks fine, it's up there, but then if you watch a video 5 seconds later, it goes to a pile of rubble. Sometimes that can be us. We look like we're functioning properly, but it doesn't take much to...
Yeah, to upset God's, yeah, the design can go right out of the window with just one little tremor. All the earth has to do is shake a little bit, and what man built comes tumbling down, and churches can crumble, too, if we're not careful. Hey, excellent comments. Okay, let's look at another related idea. It's not just that we're fitly framed together, but letter C says, the church as a building and as a body illustrates its interdependence. So the body is a union of various parts. We're a unity. We're one body. And let's look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And beginning in verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. So overall, the church is one body. That's true of the universal body of Christ. There's only one universal body of Christ. And it's also true in a local setting that we function as a local manifestation of the universal body of Christ. So in a sense, we are a body here. And we refer to the church, the local church sometimes, as the body. And each one of us as members in that body. And he says, so we being many are one body. And every one members one of another. So here he's talking both about the unity that we're one. Just like your body, your physical body, is a unit. It functions together. But he goes on to say, and every member one of another. So we have lots of different members in our physical body, but they're designed to operate as a unity, as a unit, as one person. And if my body is all in sync with my brain and what's left of it and where I'm functioning, if my arm starts shaking, like something's wrong with that arm, if it just starts shaking on its own and it's not getting the connection to the head, and then who knows what might have caused that, but something's wrong with the body when a member of the body starts acting independently. That's an illness. That's something serious that needs to be addressed. So God designed our body so that the arm shouldn't just think it wants to do its own thing over here. It's the arm is dependent upon the rest of the body. And that arm will function best when it's connected to and is in harmony with the body, just like a train. You know, the wheels would run if you put a train on the beach in the sand, but it's not going to go anywhere. It was designed to function on a track. And when God's design is not followed, then the end is disaster. And when a body part, if one of your organs suddenly failed to work, you would become very sick or concerned. And you go straight to the doctor. We all would, hopefully. Because every member matters. And that one organ, sometimes something might go wrong in your body. It might be an organ or some little valve or something that you never even heard of before. But when it goes wrong, you realize how dependent you are on that little organ, whatever it might be. It excretes some kind of a hormone or some kind of juice or something that the whole body benefits from. And when that organ goes, you are suffering as a result. And so the whole body is dependent upon the tiniest of members in that body. And so that should tell us something about how we treat one another. You might think, well, so-and-so, that person, he's not so important, or she's not so important. You might think that about some of the organs in your body, too, until they don't function. And then you'll get a whole new outlook on life. You see how important the function of that little valve or that little organ is. Malcolm?
Yeah, I was thinking of years ago I did some studies in metallurgy.
On what?
In metallurgy, metals. And, if you look at a metal, it's made up of a matrix of atoms. And they're all interdependent. If it's all one material, like iron, or iron carbide. But if you introduce a contaminant into the melt, it'll cause a weakness in the metal. And sometimes in aeroplanes, there have been accidents where metals have failed. And that's the reason, because there was a contaminant in a highly stressed area in the metal part of the plane. It's brought the plane down. Mm. And this is at the atomic level, so that very, very small, but it gets moving the plane down.
Yeah, maybe if Paul was alive in this age, he'd use another illustration. The church is like an airplane's metal, and teaching the same thing, that every tiny little atom is important in the metal. Every member of the body is important. And the whole body, this is the amazing part, the whole body is dependent on that tiny little organ that you never heard of. And that tiny little organ that you never heard of is also dependent upon the rest of the body. If you took that tiny little organ that you never heard of out of your body and you put it on in the refrigerator, it's going to die. It needs the body to live and to function. And the body needs it to function. Now, some of the functions of our human body we can get along without. Some people lose an arm in an accident. You can survive. A body can survive without an arm. But it makes it a lot more difficult, doesn't it? Because the body was designed to have two arms, and they work together. And that's the illustration that we have here of the church. It is a unity, but with diversity. It's a unity, it's to function as one, but they're all different members in that body, and every one of those members has a different function. And we all need all of them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look in verse 14, very similar to Romans, Paul says, "For the body is not one member, but many." So here he's talking about the church as a body. And it's a unit, the whole body is one, it's one unit. But the body is not just one member. And then he gives kind of a comical illustration about, a foot wanting to be a hand, or a hand wanting to be a foot, or an eye wanting to be an ear, and an ear wanting to be a foot, an eye. And the idea is that it's so absurd when you think of it in that sense. If one member of the body wants to, and this goes perfectly, I didn't even realize it at the time, this goes perfectly with our lesson we're going to look at in 1 Timothy. But if one member of the body wants to function as a different member of the body, it's an absurd thing to think about. It's like your arm wanting to be a leg. And if I suppose a doctor could surgically replace this arm with this leg and just swap them, and maybe the blood would flow through and I might survive the surgery, but it would be freakish. It's not the way God designed things. And this shoe would wear out a lot faster than this one. But the same thing is true in the body, that God designed each one of us to fit in the body. And I think Ray quoted that verse in Romans 12:18, that God hath set each one, each member in the body as it hath pleased him. So he designed us. When we're saved, and this happens at the moment of salvation, when we're regenerated, God gives us a spiritual gift, or maybe several spiritual gifts. And we may not know what they are when we're first saved, but as we grow and mature, we discover how God has gifted us. And God wants us to use those gifts to minister in the body. And the body needs all of those gifts. And so if we try to swap, like somebody felt that they should be the pastor of the church. Well, maybe they could do a better job than the present pastor, but were they called of the Lord for that? Did God give them that spiritual gift? Those are things to consider. Now, I'll be replaced one of these days, but you want somebody that's called of God. You want somebody that has that gift. And the gifts are given to us at the moment we're saved, and we don't get to swap them. I might like to, somebody in the congregation might say, well, I think I'd like to sing solos in the church. I'm not one of those people, but just suppose there was somebody that I'd like to sing a solo. Well, has God gifted you in that area? If so, fine, use that gift for the glory of God. But if not, well, maybe you should use the gifts that God has given you. And God has given every one of us a gift or several gifts. And as time goes on, we should know what those gifts are, and we should be using them to minister to the body, to strengthen the body, so that corporately we're a strong body, that we're knit together and all the needs of the body are being met, not just corporately, but individually. And that's a healthy body. And that's a body that is best going to manifest Christ in his love, in his grace, in his holiness. When we're all jockeying for position, and I want to do this, and I think Fred should be a deacon, and I think Tom should be this, and everybody's got their own idea as to how the church ought to function and who ought to be in what position. Well, the head has revealed in his word how the body is to function. And he's chosen men in positions of leadership. And those men should be spiritually minded men and looking, observing oversight over the flock, looking for gifted men and women to function in the body. And that is a great benefit to the whole. So there is a unity. We are one body, but we are many members. And all of those members are not just dependent upon the body, but we are interdependent upon each other. And so this is the illustration of the body is phenomenal. You can just go on and on with the illustrations that Paul gives. We are dependent on one another. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. For as we being many, there's the unity. Being many are one body, there's the unity, and every one members one of another. And so here we see both the unity and the diversity in one body. And the body needs to function. We need to go in one direction. If you're walking down the street, you want your whole body is working in sync so that you walked in the right direction where your head is leading you. And that's how the church should function. We should be in such a close relationship to the head. Every one of us as individuals closely connected to the head and closely connected to one another in the body, so that the church as a body goes in one direction and not nine. When a church goes in nine directions, when the church has nine different views of the second coming of Christ, or the kingdom, as John mentioned, or the church wants to go have nine different directions in the kind of music that we have, or the order of service, there has to be order. Just like our human body was designed, it has order to it. There's a unity, and there's great diversity. And so as members of a local church, we should be thankful for the unity that God gives and also for the diversity. People are going to have different ideas on non-essential things, non-doctrinal and non-moral things. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody was brought up in the same background. Not everybody came from the same culture. Not everybody was born in the same country. And so the local assembly is a diversity of people with different gifts, different backgrounds, but our love for Christ ought to override that so that we're able to function as one body, as a unit. Unity and diversity. These are not opposing ideas. These are complements to each other. And that's the way God wants us to function. And let's look, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's just read. We get a glimpse of this in an extended passage from verse 11 through 16. And let's just read this through. And he, the risen Christ, ascended above all things as the head of the body. He gave some apostles and some prophets. That was for the founding of the church. They're no longer with us. There are no more apostles. There are no more prophets. And some evangelists or missionaries and some pastor teachers. They are with us today. We do have missionaries and shepherds, pastors. And the missionaries and the pastors are for the perfecting or the building up of the saints. Missionaries build up the number of saints in the body, and the pastor teacher edifies and strengthens them as individuals. And it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of faith, there is to be a unity in this body. And it's a unity not of what we like to eat or what our favorite sports are or what our hobbies are. It's a unity of doctrine. It's a unity of our faith and the things that we believe, a unity around the truth. A unity of the faith, the body of Christian doctrine, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, we all worship the same Lord, unto, and the goal of that is to be a perfect, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so our goal, corporately as an assembly, is to manifest Christ more and more. And individually, our goal ought to be to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God doesn't want us to remain children. He saved us. He gave us new life. And every one of us enter into Christianity as a babe, whether you got saved in the fifth grade or whether you got saved at 50. You're a babe in Christ when you first believe. But he doesn't want that to remain our position as a babe. He says in the next verse, but speaking the truth in love, as Marie mentioned, that we may grow up. That's God's goal for us. Grow up. Sometimes we get the idea, well, that's just the way I am, Pastor. Well, maybe it is. But maybe it's time to grow up. Maybe it's time to change and to be transformed. That's the whole purpose of Christianity, that we may grow up into him in all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here we see that again, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And so the joints are where members of the body come together. That's a joint. And where they come together, what happens there? The joint supplies. There is a supply that takes place when joints come together. When joints come together in a bad way, there's friction. They get angry at each other because somebody stepped on somebody's toes. When joints come together, two people in a local assembly. But God's design is that when two people come together and maybe there's a disagreement, that disagreement is used to sand us down and smooth us off until we're able to allow the love of Christ to make that a warm, loving relationship that's valuable to both sides. And so it's where these two joints come together that growth takes place. And that's what God wants. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part is involved in this growth, and it makes increase of the body. Where members come together to serve together, to minister together. You know, when believers go on a missions trip together, there's a bond that takes place there. Even working on VBS ministry, there's a bond that takes place there. Or serving in, setting up for a conference, there's a bond that takes place there when we minister together. When we're compacted together, we're serving, we're doing the same job with the same goal. And growth takes place. Growth doesn't take place just because your body is sitting on a pew and you're physically present when the doors are opened. Growth takes place through being fitted together in love and ministering together as members of the body. And so the body is a living organism. And I think that clock has beat us today, so we're going to have to stop here, and we will pick this up next time, next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the local church. We thank you, Father, that it is a body, that you are working in each, in and through each and every member, Lord, to build up the body corporately. And Father, we thank you that as a result of participating in ministry in the body and ministering one to another, we also grow and mature in the faith. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.